Well, again, Merry Christmas. Let me encourage you to slow down, to enjoy things. Sometimes we just get ourselves wound up and go, 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 and I still have so much to do, and we just kind of get wound up that way, and then we end up exhausted and not enjoying much of anything. And very importantly, keep the main thing, okay? And that's kind of what we're going to remind you of a little bit today. I read, too, the other day that 28%, that's a lot, 28% of Americans are still paying off their 2023 holiday credit card debt. And if you did that, you probably don't even know what you bought, but you bought a lot, you know, for a lot of people and so forth. And just, you know, simmer down with that a little bit and don't create pressure for the rest of the year because we felt pressure during the season. So I just encourage you, slow down, enjoy, and again, keep the main thing the main thing. So I want to talk, and we're in a series for December called Peace on Earth. Come on, everybody, say Peace on Earth. And this, you know, comes to us, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, and it's the angel and then the angel choir, literally an army, announcing to shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And we're going to kind of break that down a little bit today, but peace on earth, that phrase kind of got popularized through Charlie Brown's Christmas, through Christmas cards, Christmas banners and decorations, where we've almost got a mindset that peace on earth is just kind of a Christmas thing. And I want you to know it's not just a Christmas thing. And the other day we were having some meetings up in my office, and this is some stuff from my office, and I realized I had my Christmas peace pillow on my chair, and we got to talking about that in just a few weeks they're going to take this away from me. And they'll put it in a plastic bin and put it away. And I thought, no, I don't want to do without peace. But see, I think sometimes that's the only time we think about, you know, really making that really prominent out in front of us is peace. And I'm about to give somebody a $1 billion idea. What if we had peace pillows for all year? And, you know, Arbor Day. And Thanksgiving and 4th of July and Valentine's and all of those. And my point is this, is peace is not just for Christmas. And I don't want us to just make that, well, that's just part of the decoration. That's just part of, you know, that just goes with Christmas. Again, it's the entrance of our Savior. And let's go there right now, too, and get this. Because I'm all for peace pillows every season. Can I get an amen on that? So Christmas, come on, read this with me. Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world. Now, caution, and Pastor John kind of cautioned you too, that sometimes we do things, hear things, say things so much that they don't pack the punch that they did, and we kind of miss it. And I want us to just to realize this. In this busy season, so commercialized, everybody's doing it, you know, so much going on, parades and shows and decorations and parties and meals and gift giving and shopping, you know, just all that kind of stuff, that we don't miss it. And so one more time with intention, could we read it again? Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world. And the second part is very important here. And Christmas makes no sense without Easter. And again, I point you to, you know, the manger, but also the cross. Keep all of that together, and I tell you what, it just doesn't impact you for a season then. It will impact you for your life and for eternity as well. Now, God so loved us that he hated the distance between us. God so loved us that there was a distance created by our sin, by our brokenness, our frailty. It created this distance from a holy God. And God loved us, but he hated the distance. So this is what happens. Love always seeks to close the distance. Y'all with me? Love always seeks to close the distance. I'll be home for Christmas. You know, what motivates people and millions of people are going to drive and fly and everything else. You know, we've got to get there. We've got to And the song goes, if only in my dreams. You know, what is that? It's that desire because of love to be together. Well, the same is true of God. He so loved us, he hated the distance. So he sent Jesus to close that distance and to get that distance out of the way. God sent Jesus. Jesus closed that gap. And we'll get to a little more on that in a moment. Now, peace on earth is not just world peace. Peace on earth is not just everything's going right for me now. Peace on earth is a miraculous vertical peace that Jesus came to bring to us. Get that again. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. It's a vertical peace that Jesus came to bring to us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it says that Jesus made peace. Say that with me. Jesus made peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross. So we get the announcement about peace on earth, that's manger, but it's through the blood of the cross that Jesus made peace. We made a mess. Jesus made peace. And he did that through the blood of his cross. Look with me, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Y'all with me? Because I'll bother you the whole time if you're not, all right? All right. Isaiah 53, 5 in the Amplified Bible. It says, but he, prophetic of Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. Let me bookmark right there, okay? Wounded for our transgression. When you're wounded, that's outwardly. He was wounded outwardly. Imagine the cross. Wounded outwardly for our transgressions, our outward and obvious sins and failures. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. That bruise is inward. And you know, just as if we have outward sin, guess what? We also have inward sin. And thank God that he didn't clean up what was outward and obvious, but he came and paid the price to remove also, pay for our guilt and our iniquities that are inside. The next part is the focus right here. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. Hear it again. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Amen. This peace that we talk about is, first of all, peace with God. Peace with God. In other words, if we put this all together, Jesus was born to die, because the only way we could have that peace with God is by his death on the cross. And his death on the cross, he removed the distance between God and us that was caused by our sin. Look with me in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have, come on, we have peace with God. My goodness. And if there's a verse, come on, I'm going to read again. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, because of that, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. So we have peace with God because of what Jesus did. We had separation from God because of what we did. And that created that separation, that distance. And God, again, so loved that he hated the distance and closed that by Jesus' death on the cross, closing that for us so that we could literally have peace with God, made right in God's sight because of what Jesus has done. Come on, give me an amen on that this morning. Now, all other peace flows from peace with God. So peace with God is relationship. Peace with God is relationship. We're right with God because of what Jesus did. We have peace with God. That's now relationship. All other peace flows out of that relationship of being at peace with God. I have a train, a Lionel train at home. I think it was given to my brother, who's a couple years older than me, when he was little. And we have it in the original box, and no, you can't buy it, and no, you can't touch it either, okay? And I have it in a closet, and it actually still works. But I think of the peace of God as kind of a train, because the engine that would pull all the rest is the peace with God. Peace with God. And then perhaps then the next one is peace from God. And then peace with myself. And then peace with others. And there are other fashions and levels of peace that go. But the engine that's pulling all of that is the peace with God that Jesus made for us. Anybody glad about that today? Now, if you do a little, how many of you know what Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is? All right, I got a few studiers here. All right. And it's an older book, but it's still reliable. Anybody heard of Thayer's lexicon? Okay, some of you have that as well. So Strong's goes back into the original languages of the Bible, Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, and you can look up and kind of find what those words mean. Thayer's is a lexicon, so it's like a glossary, and you can do what are called exegetical studies and find out what does this really mean. And not to insult us, but our language is kind of limited, okay? And the Hebrew is and the Greek are so rich and so deep, it takes a lot of our words to say what they say sometimes. And so by benefit of Strong's, benefit of Thayer's, and some others, let me read to you a full definition of what this peace is. Ready? This will be on the screen for you. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. I'll read it one more time. That's something to think about like all day. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that is. And so it's first of all that tranquil state of my soul because I'm assured of my salvation. If my salvation was based upon my performance, I'm not very assured of that because I'm inconsistent, so are you. But because of what Jesus did, this is complete, it's paid for, it's not hinging upon me keeping a good attitude for 3 days straight. It's based on what Jesus did. I'm made right with God. And when you accept that fully, it gives you a peace. My sins are forgiven. I have a relationship with God. No one can snatch me out of his hands. Are you with me? And then because of that, I fear nothing from God. And I should walk and live in a healthy fear of God, respect and awe of God, but I don't live in a fear of God. I've told you this, you probably grew up kind of the same way. You know that it's this, God's going to get you. When I was growing up, everybody was going to get me. You know, my mom was going to get me, and then wait till your father gets home, and then later wait till your stepdad gets home. You know, and then coaches and teachers, and then you go to church, God's going to get you. But really what this peace is, you ready? This peace is this, God's got you. God's got you. So fearing nothing from God, you know, before the cross, you and I had a judgment day out ahead of us because of our sins. Come on, y'all. But because of the cross, Jesus took our judgment day out of our future and put it in our past at the cross. So now that's behind us. That bill is paid, y'all. That paper is turned in and graded, y'all. And so what's ahead? I don't have anything to fear regarding God for the rest of my life or my eternity. Tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation and fearing nothing from God is content in life, no matter what that state might be, whatever that condition might be, because God's got me. And when you know that God's got you, you're at peace in every way. Did that make sense to you? All right, now, some other resources say this, peace is to sit down in one's heart. It is free from worry. How many of you'd like to be free from worry? Let's try it again. How many of you'd like to be free from worry? Okay. Because worry is our problem a lot. And you know what worry is? Worry is just active fear. Active fear. We're acting on that on the inside. Now, peace with God makes way for peace from God. Read that with me carefully. Peace with God makes way for peace from God. And look at me. You need peace from God. Because that's how we live. That's our peace on earth. How do I live? How do I deal with this and that and them and me and everything else? I've got to have some peace from God to help me, and that flows out of that peace with God. Look in Isaiah 57, verse 19 and 20. It says, "May they have abundant peace, both near and far, says the Lord, who heals them or makes them whole. But those who still reject me are like the restless sea, which is never still and continually churns up mud and dirt." You know what that is a picture of? No peace, no peace. Just this churning inside, this roiling inside of, you know, just like the waves churning up the mud and the dirt. Restless, restless, restless. Instead, the Bible says that we can have this abundant peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't worry. All right, let's start over again, right? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's why January is going to be a really good month for you. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. There's an exchange that takes place. And the exchange is what I was troubled about, what I'm worrying about. Now, as I put that back in the safety, the surety of my salvation, that God's got me, then I experience the peace of God. And the peace of God shows up, you know it. Come on, church, when the peace of God shows up, you know it. And it guards your heart and it guards your mind. Now, we have to guard our hearts, we have to guard our minds, but we can do nothing like what peace does. Peace mounts guard, stands watch, is a garrison over your heart and your mind. And guess what? If peace is not there, worry is there. And just as peace will guard your heart and mind, worry will plague your heart and your mind. Fear has torment to it. But I'm telling you what, God's presence, it has peace to it. It guards your heart and guards your mind. And when your heart and your mind, now go with me on this, when your heart and your mind are guarded, peace is there, you're stable. Which means when it's not there, you're not stable. I hate to be the one to tell you, but all of us at times are not stable. Our goal is to be happy, stable, fruitful, blessed. Amen? Amen? But it's peace that holds us in the middle of the storm. It holds us in the middle of the tough time. That holds us in the good times. It's the peace that guards our heart and our mind. And we're either going to have one or the other. We're going to have worry and fear, or we're going to have peace. And you feel it. You know it. You carry it. How many of you know if somebody's carrying peace, you can tell? I mean, you know, if somebody's carrying worry and fear, you can tell, you know, and we can feel it. And even nonverbal, you can tell, but it will show up in tone. It will show up on your countenance. It will show up in the way you say things. It'll show up on how you do things, how you carry yourself. It impacts you in every way. It'll mess up your concentration. It will mess up your motivation. How many of you have been at peace before? You're working on something, and then something else happens, and you lose your peace. Come on, how many of you know you can lose your peace? And what happens to motivation? I don't even care anymore. You know, and you got to get it back, because now heart and mind are not guarded. We've got to get back to that place of peace. Amen. Happiness is good. Gladness is good. Happiness and gladness are nice to have. Happiness is usually based on happenings. Gladness is based on your approval. Oh, I like that. I'm glad about that. Happiness and gladness are nice to have, but get this, but joy and peace are have to have, okay? So if we just dumb it down and ride too surface on this, so I just want to be happy and glad. That's nice, but you really need joy and peace. You've got to have those. Let me quote from some scripture here. Isaiah 55:12. It says, "You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." Romans chapter 14, verse 17. "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Galatians 5, 22. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. This joy and peace are have to have. Now our focus today is that peace, because it's vital to us. This peace with God. Everybody say peace with God. Peace with God flows from peace with God. Peace from God is available through faith in Jesus. That you believe that what Jesus did, who he is, what he did, what that accomplished, you put faith in that. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. It puts you in relationship with God. You now are at peace with God. Out of the peace with God comes the peace from God. Everybody say, I need it. Oh, y'all need it. You need the peace from God. You've got to have peace with God. I mean, that's the basis. There's no peace without that. But out of that peace, I don't want to just have peace with God and I'm tormented in this world. I've got to have that peace that he sent to help me, to guard my heart, to guard my mind, to flow like a river in my life here in this life with everything going on in this life. Amen? Amen. Now, the caution is this. It is a flow. The peace from God flows. Isaiah 66 likens it to a river. Peace like a river. Some of you that have been in church for decades will remember an old song. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I still sing that sometimes because I want peace like a river, y'all. And we don't want just a little bit of this. We need, it's a flow though. And that flow comes to us. And my caution to us today is that we can draw on and enjoy that flow, or guess what we could do? We could block the flow. We could actually divert the flow and forfeit the flow of God's peace in our life. And the problem is not God. The problem is us. I need y'all to smile a little more. Come on. Come on. Just 'tis the season for me, all right? Come on. But you and I can actually block the peace of God. And the problem is never with God. Now let's go back to Luke 2:14. And it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now historically, traditionally, we know it this way. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, that's actually only found and was popularized in the authorized King James Version, which was first published in 1611. Anybody here around then? How many of you know things have changed a bit since then? And in all of the more scholarly and more current translations, New King James, English Standard Version, New Living Translation, Second Edition, New International Version, New American Standard, on and on and on, it's going to read this way, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, get this, among those with whom he is pleased. That peace on earth, look at me, is among those with whom he is pleased. So I hate to bring it up, but pleasing God is connected to your level of peace. Pleasing God is connected to your level of peace. And it's not about earning. Get this. It's not about perfection. It's about alignment. Dallas Willard, theologian, passed away just a few years ago. He said this, God is not opposed to effort. God is opposed to earning. So we're not earning anything, but there should be some effort involved. Okay? And so really it's about alignment. So if there's a flow of God's peace, and let's say it's coming down right here, and this is my little cup, and here's the flow right here, and it's in abundance, and it's coming, but I'm over here, and I don't have peace. Whose fault is that, please? That's mine. And I need to make adjustments. I need to align myself. Are y'all with me at all? I need to cooperate better. And then sometimes we're under the flow, but we're like this, y'all. It's like, oh, I just don't know. It's you, baby. It's you. And then sometimes you're like this, you know. It's the God of abundance, but I barely. And what we have to do is we have to align ourselves. We have to cooperate with God. Listen to me. There is an abundant peace of God that is flowing like a river. And we miss it not because of God. We miss it because of us. And on earth, peace among those who are pleasing God. So I want to drop off just three things real quick about pleasing God. There's a bunch of them. How many of you know it should be your goal? Well, for the rest of you, it should be your goal, all right? First one is this, faith. Faith. Come on, everybody say faith. Hebrews chapter 11, 6. I don't have time to explain all of this. I'll touch on these. Hebrews 11, 6 in the message. It's impossible to please God. There's the key. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. You know what God wants? God wants you just to acknowledge him. You're real. I know you care. I know you can do anything. And approach him in faith. Because listen, we're talking about peace. When you're in faith, you'll be in peace. I quoted it earlier, Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's believing God. It's trusting God. How many of you know when you're in doubt, when you're in unbelief, when you're in fear, you don't have peace? In whatever you're handling in life, situations, if you don't have peace, my friend, listen, it's troubling, yes, the problem, but get on over into faith where I'm trusting God. Get yourself back into faith. You'll get yourself back into peace. Fear has torment. Faith has peace. Second is this, words and thoughts. Words and thoughts, Psalm 19, 14. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation, the thoughts of my heart be what? Pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. There were times that both the Old Testament and New Testament, we see prophets, we see Jesus a number of times telling people, you ready for this? He said, hold your peace. Do you know what it means? Keep calm and shut your mouth. So sometimes the words of our mouth, it's not just what we say, it's what we don't say. Because how many of you know sometimes we run our mouth? Come on, get with me. How we run our mouth. And when you run your mouth, it might, whoa, that felt good. Yeah, for about 11 seconds. And then after that, it's not going to feel good in that way. And we've got to be careful. Hold your peace. And let me say this to you. Be careful of your last sentence. Now, I've taught for years, stay on the right side of the butt. I want to present it to you in another way here today. Be careful of your last sentence. How many of you have heard of Joyce Meyer? I love Joyce. She scares me, but I love her. But I heard her a number of years ago say this. She said, don't ever just say, I've got a mountain of laundry to get done, period. Because there's no place for peace after that. Instead, you should say, I've got a mountain of laundry to do. And thank God I've got a washer and a dryer. You see what I'm saying? We got to make sure, watch that last sentence because it's going to produce peace or it's going to block peace in your life. Isaiah 26, 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You've got to keep your words and you've got to keep your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Philippians says, on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And the thing about thoughts, how many of you know there's a lot of them? And what you have to do is recognize the ones I do not need to have. And this is what you do. And we've talked about this. You don't resist wrong thoughts. You replace wrong thoughts. You don't resist them. You actually, when you're playing with your brain that way, you're going to groove some things out more and more because you're still dealing with the same thing. You've got to replace that thought. And I suggest you replace it with something good and godly and life-giving and something from God's word. Amen? And so our words and our thoughts, and they're going to bring peace. I've got one more. Faith, words and thoughts, ways, your ways. Come on, everybody say ways. Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. For real? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now that word ways right there has to do with your direction, it has to do with your path, but also has to do, the root of that has to do with a measure. It has to do with how you do what you do. It has to do with your motivation when you do what you do. And the Bible says this, on earth peace among those who are pleasing to God. And one of the ways to do that is make sure that your ways please God. Not just what you do, but why are you doing it? What's your heart? What's your motivation? What's going on in the inside? Two of my grandbabies were over the other day, and Grace, who's four, she kept going out to the playhouse, and there's a kitchen set in there, and she kept coming back with plastic and wood food that she made for me. And she said, Peepaw, just I'm your neighbor lady, okay? And I said, okay. And so she came back and forth. She did this about 10 times. And she'd come and it'd be, you know, a cinnamon bun and a fish and an apple. And she'd come and she goes, I just like blessing people. I cheer that on. Amen. Now get this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make his enemies to be at, even his enemies to be at peace with him. This does not mean that your enemy suddenly loves you. And enemies might still do enemy things, but it will be as if they were at peace with you, that they could do no harm to you. Let me go to New Testament. If God is for you, what difference does it make who's against you? Amen? Let's make sure that our ways please the Lord. There's many others in Scripture, but faith, your words, your thoughts, your ways, how you're doing what you're doing. Because there is a flow of peace that is more than enough to guard your heart, to guard your mind, so you can be tranquil and content in this world no matter what is going on, because it is a supernatural flow coming from your heavenly Father. Amen? Let's make sure that we cooperate with that. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? All right.